Okay, it's 8 o'clock. The parasha is the parasha of Mishpatim. The parasha of Mishpatim, the parasha that comes after the parasha of Yitro, which in fact is the parasha of Matan Torah, something which we will be referring to. This parasha is dedicated in memory of David Wicks, Zichrono Livracha, by his loving family. David was, as you might know, a student of the yeshiva and made an impact on all those who knew him. He was a special young man. You know that there is this problem. There's this problem about the order of things in the Torah. Whether things in the Torah appear in order, chronologically, or they don't. In other words, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. For example, in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, this I'm just relating to you what the Gemara says. At the beginning of the book of Bamidbar, the first pasuk in Bamidbar is Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai ba'ol moed b'echad l'chodesh hasheni. God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of the Chodesh Hasheni. Chodesh Hasheni, of course, is Iyar. Nisan is the first month, and then comes Iyar. Okay, that's quite all right. I mean, nothing too exciting there. But in Perek Tet, in Bamidbar, to remember, Perek Tet is exactly 9 chapters further on in the book. So in Perek Tet, the first pasuk, in Perek Tet, just a second, I'll get it. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai, b'chshana sheinit l'tzeita me'eretz Mitzrayim. God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu b'midbar Sinai, the desert of Sinai. The second year. Now this introduces the parasha of Pesach Sheni. You know, there was this problem that people who were Tmeim, who were ritually unclean, could not participate on Pesach in the Korban Pesach. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, look, it's not our fault. What do we do? How do we become part of it? And Moshe Rabbeinu taught them the parasha of Pesach Sheni, that you could do certain mitzvot of Pesach a month after, a month later, giving all these people a chance to purify themselves and make themselves acceptable. But in that pasuk, Perek Tet Pasuk Aleph, it says, B'shana Shenit Litzeita Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'chodesh HaRishon Le'mar. This took place in Nisan. So the first pasuk in Bamidbar, is V'chodesh Hasheni, right? V'chodesh Hasheni is Iyar. And then 9 chapters later, the Torah says Nisan. So we're kind of working chronologically, we're working backwards. So the Gemara brings this as the proof that sometimes Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah, that the Torah is not always written chronologically. I mean, generally, it is. I mean, Abraham before Yitzchak, Yitzchak before Yaakov, Yaakov before Yosef, and all the other books of the Torah that are historical meet the same criteria. Nevertheless, there is a machloket amongst the Rishonim, the commentators on the Torah. Does this principle, Ein Mukdam U'Muchar B'Torah, this principle, is it like open-ended? If you see a problem of chronology in the Torah, can you always give it the name Ein Mukdam U'Muchar B'Torah, that's how the Torah is? Or is it in fact the case that the only place that you can imagine that there's ein mukam mukha b'Torah, that there's no chronology in the Torah. The only place is the story of Pesach Sheni that the Gemara itself quotes. The Gemara quotes. Okay. So now the book of Mishpatim, the first part of Mishpatim, the bigger part of Mishpat, the parasha of Mishpatim, is about Bein Adam Lechavero. What kind of, mostly Bein Adam Lechavero, a list of transgressions that a person might do, and includes certain punishments. Why is it there? Well, it had something to do with giving the Torah. I mean, the Torah was given. What does that mean, that the Torah was given to Bnei Israel? So I don't think give something to somebody, that somebody has to be reasonable about accepting it. You know, if you give somebody something that he can't use, like if you'd give me a book, physics written in Chinese, as I don't read Chinese, I wouldn't know what it says. I wouldn't understand the thing. So did I get anything? You know, he gives me a book on physics in Chinese. But he gave it, but I didn't get it. I didn't have the capacity to get it. So many assessors of the story of Matan Torah, including the Maharal, the Rambam, in order to get the Torah, you have to be ready to get the Torah. Now, it's not reasonable to say that the Torah, which is a collection of do's and don'ts, largely, which affect me right away as soon as I accept the Torah, that I couldn't really accept the Torah unless I knew something about it. And so there is this idea in the parshanut, in the exposition of the Torah, that the Torah was given to the people who knew what the Torah was. And I mean, they didn't know everything in the Torah, but they knew enough in the Torah to sort of understand what they were getting into. And so it makes sense that the people said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do, we will listen, about the Torah that they received. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, what do you say? Are you willing to take it, to get it, to become part of it? Na'aseh v'nishma. Na'aseh v'nishma meaning we know what we're getting into, we know what we are accepting. It's not some kind of mysterious Torah that no one ever heard of, but it's something real. It affects relationships, it affects things that I do and that I prevent myself from doing. All of that is called a Torah. So in the book of, in the parasha of Yitro, last week's parasha, we heard about Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments. Okay, there's a difference of opinion amongst Chazal about how these Ten Commandments, how they were really transferred to Bnei Yisrael. But it seems to me, if you learn the Rambam and the Ramban on this question, that the Ten Commandments somehow represent the idea that God giving something to the people is not so far-fetched. It actually happened. It happened that people were standing there, hundreds of thousands of people were standing at Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, here's the Torah. Take the Torah. And of course, it wasn't the whole Torah that they were offered, because I don't know why, but they were offered the idea that God would give something to the people of Israel, because that's the way things should be. And so the people didn't get the whole Torah, but they got Ten Commandments, some Beit Adam l'Chaviro, some Beit Adam l'Makom, some have to do with human relationships, some of the relationship of man to God. And these Ten Commandments were kind of a taste of the Torah. It's true that Rav Sadia Gaon, quoted by Rashi, by the way, says that the Ten Commandments represent 10 categories, and that you could put all the mitzvot of the Torah, 613 mitzvot of the Torah, into the 10 categories. So that in some way, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, and I guess according to Rashi, who quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, the Torah that was received in Yitro, in the parish of Yitro, the Ten Commandments, was obviously only 10 commandments, or maybe 9, or maybe 11. I mean, 10 commandments, that's what we call them, 10 different halachic topics, but somehow hidden in those 10 topics, according to Rav Sadia Gaon, were all of the mitzvot of the Torah. All of the mitzvot of the Torah, but that doesn't mean that the people knew at the time that that's what Rav Sadia Gaon meant, that at the time the people knew about these 10 commandments. So, the beginning of the parasha of Mishpatim, Ve'ela Mishpatim, Ashayta Sim Lifnechem. So there is a detailed list of mitzvot, which enables the people to say Naaseh V'Nishma. So you already have two different kinds of passing down the Torah. One, the Ten Commandments, and the second, the parasha of Mishpatim, because the Ten Commandments were not enough, and you needed the parasha of Mishpatim. The people had to know more about the Torah in order to accept the Torah. Okay. So we've talked about Ein Mukdam U'Mukhar B'Torah. We've talked about the Torah being passed down. Now, we all know that after the Torah was given and the people built the golden calf and they were punished, wandering around the desert for 38 years. And during those 38 years, the Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael and taught them not just the ideas of the Torah, and not just the mitzvot of the Torah, but the exact wording of the parshiyot of the Torah. And that went on for 38 years, and is recorded largely in the Torah by the Be'er Shev and Moshe Meimor. God spoke to Moshe, said that what's missing in the sentence is said, teach B'nai Yisrael the following. Teach B'nai Yisrael the following. So we know that there are at least there are more, but we know about the Ten Commandments in the parasha of Yitro, the more commandments in the parasha of Mishpatim, and Moshe Rabbeinu teaching the Torah during the 38 years in the desert, parasha after parasha. What about Bereshit? I mean, what about the book of Bereshit? So the Rabbi Sarashi says, as you should know, you remember, that the book of Bereshit was something they had already. The Bereshit was about traditions, stories about Abraham, about Yitzchak, about Yaakov, about Yosef. Those stories were known to Bnei Israel. So in Bereshit, what had to be done is that it had to be written down formally in the proper language. So maybe that also happened during the 38 years. Rashi is not clear about that. But we know that The giving of the Torah is a response in the stories to the different ways that the Torah had to be given and the different times that it was given. And even though it is correct to say the Torah was given at Har Sinai, but that means basically the idea of Torah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Torah to the people of Israel. Okay, in these introductions, we talked a little bit about Ein Mukdam Mukhabat Torah. We talked about when the Torah was given. Let's look at Perek Shmot Perek Kaf Gimel. Let's start with Pasuk Yudet. Pasuk Yudet is really the end of the mitzvot in the parasha of Mishpatim. Reshit Bikurei Admatcha, Reshit. Reshit means the very first of them, the first fruits that come out of your land. Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. Lo Tavashel Gedi V'Chalei Bimo. Now everybody knows that Lo Tavashel Gedi V'Chalei Bimo is a big story. It's a big story, firstly, because this phrase appears three times in the Torah. And also it's a big story because the way we live our lives, the idea that you have to watch milk and make sure that it doesn't get mixed in with meat, it all comes from this pasuk. So this pasuk has two elements to it. Reshit bikurei admatcha bikurim. Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, you have to bring the bikurim, the first fruit, you have to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. The second thing is Lo Tavashel Gedi V'Chalei Bimo. So we can say, look, there's no connection between these two mitzvot, but they're just two mitzvot written in the same pasuk. Lo Torah. Lo Torah. And then suddenly, that's pasuk Yutet. And okay, there's a break, that samach. You see that samach? Where's my yeah, there's some way of jiggling it around here. You see the samach? Anyway, I guess it didn't work.
What was this?
Guess it didn't work.
Remember, and now I can't talk about
So the next pasuk, you see the next pasuk, Kaf. Hinei anochi sholeach malach lefanecha. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hinei anochi sholeach. Anochi is God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Sholeach. I'm going to send an angel lefanecha, lishomrecha baderech ulhaviacha, to watch over you on the way, as you go on your way, will have yachal abakom asher achinoti, and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Okay, what's this malach? What does this malach have to do with anything? I mean, the idea that God is helping us to get to Eretz Canaan, okay. But what's enei anochi sholeach malach lefanecha? Who's this malach that God is sending, and what is the purpose of the sending? Okay, so here we'll look at Rashi. You see Rashi? Hinei anochi sholeach malach. There's an absolutely an amazing position in Rashi. Rashi says this, Kan nitbasru shatidin lachto. The hidden message in this pasuk is that they're going to sin. V'shchina omeret lahem, ki lo a'ale b'kirbecha. Ki lo a'ale b'kirbecha. Is Shchina, Hashem, tells them now, ki lo a'ale b'kirbecha. That's what Rashi says. Now let's unpack Rashi, as they say today. Let's unpack it and see what Rashi is saying. Kan nitbasru shadidin lachto. Atidin lachto, what does that mean? The Chet HaEgel. They're going to build a golden calf. And because they're going to build the golden calf, everything is going to change. What's everything? the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to B'nai Yisrael. Where's that in the words? Where are those words? Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach. So Rashi says what that means. That means is I am sending an angel to do what I said I would do. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said I would lead you, I would take you, I would bring you. Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach. It's changed. And we have to understand that in the kind of tradition of a religious being, action, I want to be with God. I don't want to be with God's angel. If I have no choice, I'll take the angel. But if I have a choice? So Rashi doesn't explain to us, why this pasuk is here. Instead, Rashi says, "Kanit basrusha atidim lachto." Here, the B'nai Yisrael were told to understand that they are going to sin, and because they are going to sin, they're going to be punished. And what is the punishment? Shechina omeret lehem, ki lo ale bekir b'cha. I will not go up in your midst, meaning together. There's going to be a measure of non-togetherness. Another way of saying that in more modern kind of terms is that it'll be a kind of an exile. We're kind of exile. That's what exile means. It means disruption of the relationship. Even though Chazal said that God is also in exile, but it doesn't mean that you're in the same place. In fact, it says, Kilo a'ale bikir b'cha, a'ale bikir b'cha. So Rashi kind of says, Ei mukdam mucha b'torah. It doesn't matter that the sin hasn't happened yet, that the sin of the Egel HaZahav, which is not going to be related to us with other three parashiyot, right? Truma, Tetzaveh, Kitisa. Kan nitbasru she'atidin lachto. U'shchina omeret lahem ki lo a'ale b'kir b'cha. And if you we look at Shvot, Perek, Lamed, Gimel, that Kisisa, the pasuk that Rashi quotes, El Eretz Avat Chalav Udvash, the land of milk and honey, Ki lo a'ale bekir b'cha, I will not go up in your midst, which is the way it was supposed to be, Ki ham k'shei orefata, because you are a difficult people, then achalcha, achelcha baderech, lest you kind of disappear on the way. Vayishma ha'am et ha'davar ra'azeh vayitabalu. The people heard this punishment that they were going to receive, and they went into a state of mourning. V'lo shatu ish et yo'alav, and nobody was eating or drinking. Vayome Hashem al El Moshe Mo B'nei Yisrael Atem Am K'shei Oref. Rege Echad Ale B'kir B'cha V'chiliticha. It just take me a moment to get rid of you, V'ata Horeid Ed Yichav Me'alecha V'idacha Ma'aselach. Take off what all the jewels that you might be wearing, the decorative items. V'yit Natzlu B'nei Yisrael Et Ed Yam They kind of the were distinguishing themselves. This one happened as a result of the Chet HaEgel. Even though God acquiesced to the blessing of Moshe, to the request of Moshe Rabbeinu that somehow the people should be forgiven, and God said, "I'll forgive them." Hashem, Hashem, Kelchanul V'Rachul V'Chapai V'Rab Chesed V'Emetz. God said He would somehow. Forgive them for the Chet HaEgel, but didn't mean that the Chet HaEgel would be forgotten. I mean, there's like a different But these are two different things. Bnei Yisrael would be able to continue in their role in Jewish history as the receivers of the Torah, the disseminators of the Torah. That's Bnei Yisrael. But that doesn't mean that forgiveness, it just, there's nothing left. That's not what it means. Kadosh Baruch Hu, what's his name? I'm sorry, Rashi quotes in the Pasuk at the end of Perek Lamed Bet, right? We're in Lamed Gimel, the end of Lamed Bet, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that any punishment that Bnei Yisrael will receive in the future for whatever they've done mistakenly or purposefully, which is not in accord with the Torah, whatever they have done, part of the punishment will always be for the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel is always there. It is always, that's what it meant. That's what God meant when he said, forgiven. He didn't mean wiped out. He didn't mean erased. He didn't mean we have nothing left to think about. No, nothing like that, right? So here's Rashi. I'm sorry, here is the Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, Lo ale bekir b'cha. Rashi says, you see the Rashi? One second, I've got it here. Bekir b'cha, you see bekir b'cha? Lechach ani omer, lech v'shalachti lepanecha malach. And this is the proper place. Lech v'shalachti lepanecha malach. Go, and I will send before you an angel. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not go before you, but there's an angel. Kilo ele bekir b'cha. But an angel will lead you, will take you. So before we get to the answer, so to speak, I just want to make sure we know the psukim in Yoshua that the Ramban quotes. You see, in Yoshua Perek Hey Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yoshua was outside of Yericho. Yoshua is the inheritor of the mantle of Moshe Rabbeinu, not equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, but his job was to conquer the land of Canaan and to give it out to the tribes, to make settlement in Eretz Canaan real. Here's Yoshua. He picks up his eyes, which is a typical biblical way of saying he was looking. Vayar, and he saw. V'ne ish omeid l'negdo. Ish, the word ish, we know the Rambam says that the word ish could also be an angel. And here it probably means an angel. It just looked like a person. Imo l'negdo. He says there's an ish standing before him. He's holding on to a sword. And Yoshua went towards this apparition. Are you with us or against us? It was Yoshua lived in a world where there could be angels showing up, angels looking like men. Angels looking like men who would be on his side or against him. So it's perfectly reasonable for Yoshua to say, Halanu ata im litzarein, are you with us or against us? Ayom elo, ki ani sar tzeva Hashem. I am an officer in the army of God. Ata bati, I just came. I just showed up. Vayipol Yoshua el panav arza, vayishtachu, and Yoshua fell on his face on the ground, vayishtachu, and he bowed down, vayomelo, ma'adoni medaber el abdo. Yoshua, very polite, he says, what, sir, are you saying to your servant? Now we know that the officer of the army of God said to Yoshua, Shal na lecha mi al raglecha, shal na lecha mi al raglecha. Take your shoes off of your legs. Ki hamakom asher atah omed alav, because the place that you are standing at, kodeshu, that it's a holy place. It's not fitting that you should walk around with shoes at this place. Vayas Yoshua came. Vayas Yoshua. Now, it's very difficult to avoid thinking immediately of Moshe Rabbeinu and the burning bush. However, if you check Moshe Rabbeinu and the burning bush, the first chapter, the third chapter of the book of Shemot, you will understand that this kind of meeting indicates something about the prophetic potential of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua ben Nun. The prophetic potential of Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw a fire that did not burn itself out, that potential was unlimited, almost unlimited. We can go into it a little bit more, but you have to understand that it was almost unlimited, whereas the prophetic potential of Yoshua ben Nun was more limited. And the unlimited nature of Moshe Rabbeinu, represented by the fire, right? Even though there's an angel who speaks, but it's the fire that brought him close. Whereas by Yoshua ben Nun, it's not a fire, it's an angel. It's all there is an angel. So that you could obviously say that even though Yoshua ben Nun inherited the mantle of leadership, and he was bringing B'nai Yisrael into Eretz Canaan and then ultimately dividing up the land and giving everybody a portion, nevertheless, that certainly doesn't mean that Yoshua ben Nun operated on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, that his connection to Torah was the same as the connection of Moshe Rabbeinu. Certainly not. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, and he was unique at the outset. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we will communicate, we will be here together. We have all these, you know, these psukim in the book of Shemot about communication, right? So let's get back to our pasuk in our parsha. One pasuk, right? We're learning one pasuk. Just one second. Pasuk kaf. Hine anochi shalech malach lefanecha. And Rashi says, kan nitbasru shatidin lachto. Ushchina omeret ki lo a'ale bikir b'cha. We saw that pasuk. Ki shmi bikir bo. Ki shmi bikir bo. Mechubar. L'rosh ha-mikra is connected to the beginning of the pasuk, Yishamer mipanav, ki shemi mishutaf bekirbo. That's all of that is Rashi, right? All of that is Rashi. Again, I'm sorry, I'm reading it from the Ramban, but the Ramban is just quoting Rashi. Shmot. Second. Yenochi shalech malach kan nitbasru shatidim lachto. In a non chronological way. The people are learning that they're going to sin. Anochi Shalech Malach. Ushchino Merit Lehem Ki Lo A'ale Bekir Becha. I will not go up with you, the Shekhinah said. That's a pasuk. The Shekhinah said, and this is the choice of Rashi. All of the Mefarshim say, well, okay, but isn't it true that God sort of rescinded, allowed the people to continue to exist and withdrew the general punishment? Says, yes, but it's not true that they were not punished. As I pointed out earlier, it's not true that the people were not punished. It's not true that punishment doesn't go on forever, at least according to Rashi. That's the way Rashi understood it. Rashi understood it. So we have the Ramban. The Ramban is not with Rashi on this matter. According to Rashi, apparently, Ein Mukdam Muchaba Torah, that there is no necessary chronological order written in the Torah, that idea can be transmitted to other psukim and other ideas that are not mentioned by Chazal. The Ramban doesn't like that idea. And the Ramban thinks that you should be able to find a correct chronology. So, let's start over again. The end of the previous pasuk is Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Now we haven't got time for that today, but you know very well that when you learn your Yoredeya and you have to learn about Basar B'Cholov, this is kind of a little complicated. Okay, every word in this phrase, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, demands special concern and was taught by Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael as part of the instruction about Torah. But this is a very special kind of Torah matter. Lo tevashel gedi, what does tevashel mean? What does gedi mean? What does chalev imo mean? Every word of that phrase has to be taught to Bnei Yisrael in order to achieve proper understanding. And the machloket about what gedi is and what tevashel is and what chalev imo is, they continued right through to the Mishnah and the Gemara, right, or the Tanoim in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. I mean, you're talking about the greatest people of our past who were concerned about what those words mean. And so as a response to the people who are trying to understand what Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo means, does it include a bird or doesn't it include a bird? Does it include a chaya? Doesn't it include a chaya? All of these things were difficult. So the pasuk said, Hine anochi sholech malach lefanecha. Hine anochi sholech malach lefanecha. The Rabban says, that's the psukim that we were learning in Yoshua. I mean, that's the malach. I mean, what does that malach come to do? He said to Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu is not with you. So I was sent to help. I'm going to help you. I am going to help you understand what Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. If you ever forget it, you could turn to me. And I will help you out, the angel said to Yehoshua. So according to the Ramban, who quoted those psukim from Yehoshua, from the book of Yehoshua, according to the Ramban, there is no need to make up an interpretation that takes you out of the consensus of chronology. Because what all it means is that this pasuk yutet that says Lo tabashal kediv chalev imo, and Lo tabashal kediv chalev imo was problematic. Lo tabashal kediv chalev imo said, how am I going to remember? How am I going to know? How am I going to know what the Torah wants, what the Torah doesn't want? It's all very complicated. So the Torah says, Hashem promises that there will always be a malach who goes lifanecha, who can do what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu, we trusted Moshe Rabbeinu to, tell us what the words mean and how they should be understood. We will continue to trust even Yoshua ben Nun, who is certainly not on that exact level, not like Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't bring us the Torah, didn't know what every word meant. But Yoshua ben Nun is offered the help, the assistance of the Malach. And you see from the discussion, we see from the Pasuk, just 1 second, we'll do it. Yoshua, Vayisai Navayar Vinei Ish, Vayelech Yoshua Ela Vayomer Lahala, Lanu Ata Im Litzareinu Vayomer Lo Ki Ani Sar Tzva Hashem, Dabati, Ata Bati, Bati for what? Why did he come? The Sar Tzva Hashem, Ata Ba. Hine yata bati, pasuk yudalet, Rashi. Le'ezratcha, I'm here to help you. She'ein adam yachol leilachem aleha. U'letofsa la'apil achoma, will be yimei Moshe Rabcha bati, v'lo chaveitz bi, she'demar yimein panecha holchim v'chulei. He's, I'm coming to help you. In spite of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu said he didn't want me to come. But for you, I'm sure that you're going to need my help and you'll accept my help. But that's what this is Vayomer. Shal na'alecha v'al raglecha ki makom asher ata omed alav kodeshu. If you accept me, you accept my help, then your position is intact. You are standing in hallowed ground. It's standing in hallowed ground. You have to act purposefully. So the machlok is Rashi and the Ramban. The machlok is Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says that Malach refers to the Malach that's going to be sent after the Chet HaEgel. And the Ramban says Malach, that's the Malach that was sent to give Yoshua a better chance of explaining the words of the Torah to the people. Okay. Have a good Shabbos. All the best to you.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Shalom.